Welcome to the Context Machine, episode number 578. I am your co-host, Brian Chaffin.
And more importantly, I'm your other co-host, Jeff Gamet. Oh, man, I messed it up. I'm supposed to say I'm Jeff Gamet, your other co-host. And more importantly, our new website at contextmachine.io is alive. It really is. With a face that a mother might possibly, maybe, kind of, sort of, not exactly hate. But more importantly, I'm your other co-host.
I like, by the way, that I wrote that line for you to say about the site that you put together. I think that makes me a little bit of a jerk. By the way, thank you for working hard on that. You can also use, I am such a, anyway, you can use Context Machine.
To be fair,
yeah,
you're not wrong. I mean, you're kind of a dick, but you're not wrong.
Both things are true. You can use contextmachine.io to reach out to us, or to reach us on Twitter at contextmachine.
Right. Also, today's episode is sponsored by Hunter Douglas.
Jeff's going to tell you more about them later in the show. And this episode is dedicated to basically pissing off at least some of our members, listeners.
Which TV show are we going to say we love or hate today?
We're going worse. We're going to talk about Twitter and Elon Musk.
And that's today's show. Thanks for tuning in.
We still have the part where we're going to piss off at least some of our listeners.
Right. And we have to do the thing where I get all excited about Hunter Douglas.
Yes.
So, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. Tis the reason.
By the way, it is genuine excitement. I am not feigning excitement.
Fair. Good. That's good.
Right.
We have been really lucky to have sponsors that we like over the years. It's good stuff.
Yes, very true.
All right, so yeah. Here's the deal. Just finished Picard, the season, and really enjoyed it.
You're ahead of me because I have not had a chance to watch this week's episode yet.
So I shouldn't say I am anything at all about how they play the baseball game?
Oh, sorry. Right.
Oh,
right. Man. Well, screw it. I'm out. I'm done watching that show forever.
No, that was not a real spoiler, folks.
Right. I know you well enough to know that you would not do that.
I would not do that. Certainly not going to do that to our listeners, at least not where they're going to hear it. Because, you know, that's what edit buttons are for.
Right. So that's why you did it on the show.
Speaking of edit buttons,
that was awesome.
Elon Musk wants to give us an edit button. And the interesting, okay, so here's the deal. Elon Musk has made an offer for the Twitters.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about a lot of different aspects about it. And he did a TED Talk. Actually, he did an interview with someone on the TED stage.
Right. So is that a TED-er-view?
Yeah, something like that. It wasn't actually a TED Talk per se. But he, at one point, a really good watch, by the way, whether or not you like Elon Musk, it's a really good interview. Whether or not you love, hate, don't care about Elon Musk, there's some interesting things in that interview, for sure. Do you agree with that, Jeff?
I do agree with that. I mean, if nothing else, it's really interesting to watch the interview for the interaction. Because I feel like you get to see Elon. You get to see Elon. And I don't mean that in the OMG, there he is. We get to see him. But it provides an insight, I think, into him on some level.
Yeah, it does.
And it's just fascinating to watch the interaction.
Most of the interview is not about Twitter. Most of the interview is about Twitter. About Tesla. I would call the interviewer, if not an Elon Musk fanboy, certainly a Tesla fanboy. He was super interested and very knowledgeable about Tesla. So I recommend you watch it. I think that Jeff does too. Did you notice the part where the interviewer asked him about what do you do with the edit button from the standpoint of there are already likes and retweets?
I did.
Did it feel to you? I have a question, a very specific question. Did it feel to you like he hadn't thought about that?
To a degree, it did feel like that. I felt like, based on Elon's answer, I have put more thought into the edit button. And I did a tweet a while ago where I tweeted, I think it was like at Twitter, here's how to do your edit button. And I said, you have to have a very clear flag of some sort on the tweet to indicate there was an edit made. Then you have to have an edit trail that's easy to see, so people can see what has been edited and see what the original tweet was.
Finish. Mm-hmm. I thought you were done.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I think Elon's solution is better. And that solution is that likes and retweets and quote tweets get zeroed out.
Yes. So the part that I said, plus what Elon added on, which is actually what he said too. I think that's a much better system. But it felt like he was coming up with it on the fly.
It did. I think Jeff would agree with me. We're the first people to acknowledge that we may have been reading Elon wrong. That's the way it felt, but maybe that's not the case. Maybe that's, just his mannerisms that led to that thought. Here's the thing. So in particular, let's say that I tweet, I love Jeff Gamet. I love at J Gamet, mm-hmm. which I do.
And then I'll like the tweet.
And then you like the tweet and everybody else likes the tweet. And then a whole bunch of people quote tweet and say, well, yeah, because Jeff at J Gamet is awesome. And then I've got like,
and then I will retweet it also.
Yes.
Saying at Geek Tales is the best.
As you would, of course. Thank you. That's very kind of you. And then I turn around after I get, tens and tens of retweets and quote tweets. And then I edit it to say at Jay Gamet is a poopy head. And so now all these people have quote tweeted me. And retweeted and liked the fact that I'm calling at J Gamet a poopy head. That's a problem. I mean, I'm using a silly example, but that's a problem.
Okay, so the thing that I find fascinating about this is that everyone, including us, is talking about this like it's a brand new problem.
Well, it's because Elon is making it a break. He's saying that he wants to add an edit button.
Right, but how do you address editing content in a post?
Yeah, you can't.
Well, Facebook has been doing this for a long time.
Go ahead.
I mean, editing Facebook posts, this is not new. And Facebook tags the post as edited, and you can go and see the edit history.
This is where we have to assume we have to play the nanny state. Or the nanny corporation, or just the nannies, because people aren't going to do that. This would be weaponized by bad people.
Are we seeing this weaponized by bad people on Facebook? And I'm not setting you up. I'm genuinely asking. And if we are seeing it weaponized, I'm not reading articles about it. I'm not seeing all these posts on other platforms where people are saying, I can't believe how horrible the weaponization of editing posts is on Facebook.
That's a very fair point. I feel like, however, Facebook and Twitter are different platforms with different consumption models.
Okay, that's true. I mean, Facebook does tower over Twitter as far as overall traffic. connectivity goes.
It does. And but I think that people consume Facebook content and Twitter content differently.
That's fair. I mean, just the content presentation is different. It's you're going to have different ways people are interacting with and consuming that content.
So yeah, I've got an idea for the edit button.
Okay.
My idea for the edit button is that you delete the tweet that you no longer want and then post a new tweet. Or what Twitter decided was the best course for an edit button years ago and has consistently stuck with.
Which is to pretend like there's not a problem.
No, it's not that. It's that if you can delete your tweet along with its likes and retweets and quote tweets, and then make a new post if it's going to bother you that much.
You know, on one hand, sure. On the other hand, no, come on. Why should I have to delete a tweet that's getting a lot of interaction when I realize that I misspelled there?
Okay. Because that's the way it works. And if you weigh the problems associated with interactions to the embarrassment of having misspelled a word, on balance, the potential for shenanigans with the interactions outweighs editing the typo. And if you did Elon's version, you'd be sacrificing the same thing.
Yeah, you would be sacrificing the same thing, and I can see where that's a problem for a lot of people, or at least some people. But you know, at the same time, I'm feeling like we have a proven track record of editing posts working effectively and reasonably. And as crazy as it sounds, Facebook nailed it. I think the concern that this will be weaponized is valid, because anything that we create with good intentions has the potential to be used inappropriately or for harm. That said, with as much activity as there is on Facebook, I would think that if we were going to see a serious weaponization of editing, we would have been seeing it already.
Fair enough. Again, I would argue that content consumption is different on the platforms. The kinds of things that could be edited, the ways that, for one thing, on Facebook, if I share your post and you read your post and you read that post that I've shared and then it gets edited, the original has already been read and is not necessarily going to be exposed to new people based on your original sharing. With Twitter, people are going to see the edited content based on the original sharing if you allow the edit trail.
You know, same thing can happen on Facebook. You're going to have the initial wave of views, and then you have follow-up and I guess trickle views later on.
All right. Well,
I mean, I appreciate the concern, but...
And I appreciate your solution.
Man, we are good.
Right. So, all right. Well, that's enough of those particular weeds. Let's actually then jump to another point. Elon Musk says that Twitter is not the town square. Excuse me. He says that Twitter is the town square or the digital town square. To which I say shenanigans. It is not.
Mm-hmm.
And that Facebook moderation is not government censorship. Now, he's not saying that it is government censorship, but he's basically saying that any moderation on Twitter is essentially censorship. And there is a world of difference between platform moderation and any kind of government-based censorship. This is obvious.
Right.
And it freaking annoys me when people pretend otherwise.
I am so with you here. Yeah, this is not censorship. And to think that he can run a social media platform that is, for the most part, unmoderated, to me, shows a very myopic view on how social media works and a lack of understanding on his part. Look at all the social media platforms that have and forums that have started up with the belief that they can be an unmoderated place so that people can speak freely about whatever they want, and how quickly they realize they have to moderate. Otherwise, the entire thing just kind of implodes.
Or it becomes
Reddit
a haven.
Is a good example.
Becomes a haven for the trolls, for the hate mongers, mm-hmm. for anyone who is up to mischief. And people who don't want to deal with that go away. Look at 4chan and 8chan. Homes for supposed free speech. Well, actually, pretty much you can say whatever you want to there. And they're cesspools of awfulness.
Right. Yeah. 4chan became a cesspool. They started working on moderation. And then, wasn't it the founder of 4chan was like, well, we can't have moderation, and started 8chan, which immediately became a dumpster fire. Add to that Getter, which was created because people who felt that their, in this case, their conservative beliefs and philosophies were being censored by Twitter. They needed to have a platform where they could speak freely. Getter, like, almost immediately found that they had to start doing serious moderation to make the platform usable. You cannot have a social platform that does not include moderation.
We
have proven this over and over.
Over and over again. Moderation is necessary. And I have zero empathy, let alone sympathy, for people who do not recognize that social media has been weaponized by bad folk. And that's not just bad folk with whom I disagree. It has been weaponized by authoritarian regimes against their own mm-hmm. populations. And it's mm-hmm. also been weaponized by some of the United States enemies against us.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot deal with that by shutting your eyes and say it's okay if the far, 10% on either side of the great left-right divide are pissed off. Everything else in the middle is between is fine. It's not going to work. There is nothing logical about that. History has shown us that's not the case. All evidence argues against that position. All of the evidence argues against that.
Brian, I saw a thing go through my Twitter feed a couple days ago, and I wish I had tagged it so that I could just share it now, since instead I have to paraphrase. But it underscored to me the lack of understanding that Elon has about free speech in general, because he has made comments about free speech within the confines of a country's laws. Mm-hmm. And if people don't like something that's being said, but it's allowed through free speech, then they need to have their government change what's allowed as free speech. And the tweet said, well, what about a country that says it's okay and endorses the idea of killing Muslims? So in that country, is it okay for Twitter to have posts that endorse that belief and that philosophy?
Or the Rohingya, where Facebook was weaponized to induce genocide against them.
Exactly. I mean, from my perspective, these are clearly situations where the content should not be allowed, regardless of what a country's laws about free speech and about those ideas entails. I mean, anything that you're posting where you say a specific group of people deserves to die, that is inappropriate.
Yes. On and on. Let's take the flip side of that, where China is going to Twitter is not in China. And China has heretofore, therefore, had almost no influence over Twitter. And I'm looking at you, Apple, for pulling things out of the App Store and off of various content distribution platforms controlled by Apple at the demand of the Chinese government, something I completely and totally disagree with. And it's easy for me to say that because I'm not running Apple. But China is going to control what can and cannot be said. Russia right now is controlling what can be said. So is Twitter going to, you know, is Twitter under Elon Musk going to follow those local laws? Is he going to allow Twitter to be an arm of government censorship? Because according to what he said, yes, he is. And what about those governments and those countries where people cannot have the government change laws about free speech just because they want it changed? So that doesn't make any sense either. It is a nonsense position.
Privilege, I agree. Yes. Yeah. And when you're in a position of privilege, it's easy to say things that dismiss concerns that people have about what is or isn't allowed as speech on a platform.
And when it comes to free speech, Elon Musk was penalized by, I believe, the NLRB for firing someone who was trying to organize Tesla workers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a serious commitment to free speech there, sir. I like a lot about Elon Musk. The man is a genius. He is a genius. What he has done with electric cars is amazing. What he has done with autonomous vehicles, amazing. What he's done with SpaceX, amazing. What he's done with the Boring Company, amazing. These things are incredible.
He has done, I will agree with you, he has done a lot to move forward the electric vehicle market, and he has done so much to move forward the commercial space flight market. And yes, I know he did not invent Tesla. He bought the company and bought the title founder. Doesn't matter in this case, because he took the company and was able to position it to really have a serious impact in the EV space.
Yes. He actually addresses that, by the way. I don't think you saw that part, but he addresses some of that in,
I saw part of that where he talked about how he felt like the SEC forced him into a lie about the Tesla purchase, and he chose to make the lie to save the company.
Now that was about funding taking Tesla private.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
He also talked about the founding where he said that he bought a shell company that didn't actually have any assets and. He argued that another person, and I haven't dug into this enough to know who he was talking about. I'm sure that there are plenty of people who do know who he was talking about. But he said that someone has argued incorrectly that they had more of a role. I don't know. I'm not even going to get involved with that beyond sort of dipping my toe into it.
Today is our Twitter talk, right?
Yes. So, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. There are some hypocritical aspects of Elon Musk that drive me bananas, especially from some of his fanboys. Elon Musk has talked crap about government subsidies for electric vehicles, which is fine and dandy, except for the fact that government subsidies for electric vehicles are part of what made Tesla. He has talked a lot of crap about the state of California and the California government, when it is support from the state of California and California government that is a big part of why Tesla became a thing. And mm-hmm. and that hypocrisy drives me bananas. You know, government helped make Tesla. Just like absolutely and positively. And to talk smack about government and government subsidies after that is the height of delusional hypocrisy. I don't like it at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, on that happy note, let's talk about Hunter Douglas.
I think that sounds like a great plan. Brian, you know how I love my my smart home gear, and at the same time, I hate it, or at least complain about it. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, here's what I'm going to complain about today.
Okay.
I don't actually have Hunter Douglas blinds in my setup. Mm. And that's very frustrating to me because they would do so much to help with how hot my place gets in the summer and how cold it can get in the winter, because it would give me that extra insulation around my windows, no kidding, from 1903. And it'll block out the light when I'm trying to sleep. And, you know, even though it's nighttime out and it's dark out, I live in the middle of Boulder, and there's so much ambient light outside that that you need to have good blinds to have a dark room. And that's what I would get with Hunter Douglas blinds. And since I don't have Hunter Douglas blinds, that also means I don't have PowerView technology, which means that I don't have a way to automate through HomeKit what my blinds are doing and when. And I would love to be able to have the blinds automatically close when I'm ready to go to bed. Or if it gets too hot outside, have them automatically close so that I'm cutting down on how much passive solar is coming in and heating up my place, you know, and save me a little bit of money. I think that would be great. And that's not even taking into account the awesome designs that they have. I'm wishing that there were some Hunter Douglas blinds in my place. But what I can do is live vicariously through everyone else who gets some, which would be totally awesome. So what everyone needs to do is go visit hunterdouglas.com/ACM today to get your free Style Get Smarter design guide with fresh takes, creative ideas, and smart solutions for dressing your windows. That's hunterdouglas.com/ACM for your free style guide, and get some awesome blinds that you can control with HomeKit.
That's fantastic. I love HomeKit stuff, and this Hunter Douglas stuff really intrigues me. I, too, want it in my home and don't have it. You know what else I don't have?
What don't you have?
I no longer have my Mac Observer email account. I mean, I it's an alias forward instead of an account now. And which means that all of my TMO mail is being funneled into my personal account now. And so all of those, you know, very like hundreds of email lists and whatnot that my Mac Observer account has been subscribed to over the years. Like I'm being forced to deal with that stuff. It's driving me nuts.
I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
When I moved on from TMO, the transition from breaking away from the hundreds of email lists and mm-hmm. the hundreds of PR emails that were coming in every day. I mean, it was crazy. You don't realize how much is coming in until it stops or until you have to take control over it.
Yeah.
And it's a big thing.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. Yes. Definitely. All right. Back to pissing everybody off. here.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
That it's going to piss off some people.
Okay.
And not others, because this is a point where I'm feeling like Elon has a potential to do something good.
Sure.
So a lot of what happens with Twitter today is driven ultimately by responsibilities to shareholders. So I think that has put Twitter in a position where not by design, but simply as an artifact of what was driving traffic, we ended up with the platform being manipulated, weaponized. And if the company is private and you have one person ultimately in charge, I think that takes away a little bit of the pressure that goes along with having to drive traffic to the site in such a way to, you know, to increase revenue for shareholders that ultimately is counterproductive or destructive. So this is one place where maybe we could see an improvement. I don't know, because we have to see what actually happens if the sale is completed. But I do see that as one place where we could potentially get a benefit from the sale.
I think there are probably a lot of things that Elon Musk could fix at Twitter. Mind you, I would rather him be turning his unique, and I mean that in its both literal and most complimentary, mostly complimentary way, his intellect towards desalinization. Like, please solve desalinization. That could change the world. Please do that.
Mm-hmm.
And plastic pollution. Solve that for us. Right? You know, ridding the oceans of plastic. Okay, but he's not. He's thinking about free speech, and free speech is in fact important. One of the things he talks about is how free speech is, you know, a foundational cornerstone. It's necessary for a healthy democracy, etc. I agree with him on those things. The things that you choose to tackle are not necessarily the things that I would necessarily call a broken aspect of free speech. Very few of us are going to specifically agree on those things in the first place. But I am sure that there are many aspects of Twitter that Elon Musk could improve or change and improve. I have no doubt of that. But that would then bring me back to this thing, which sort of touches on what you were saying. Do we want, let's pretend that Twitter is the digital town square. It's not, but let's pretend that it is.
For sake of argument, sure.
Do we want the digital town square being controlled by a billionaire, by a person?
That's a really good question.
No, the answer is no.
I agree with you, but I think it's a really good question because it's something people need to seriously be thinking about, as opposed to just knee-jerk reaction where they say, well, no, or they say, yes, because this is a billionaire that doesn't have to worry about the money. They can do things for the right reasons. They can be altruistic.
Well, you know what?
And I'm not saying that's what that exactly.
Can he?
I don't think he can.
With his footprint in China now and the special dispensations that the Chinese government has granted him towards his owned factory, right? Is it not possible that China could possibly try to exert leverage over Twitter outside of its borders by pressuring the thing that actually does make the money inside its borders? And I don't
of course,
know that
that's definitely a possibility.
It's super a possibility. And Elon has been strangely effusive in his praise for Xi Jinping, in recent years, in a way that I personally find offensive.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the other thing that I think a lot of people may be overlooking is Elon said he's not concerned about the money with Twitter. And I see that as actually a serious problem, because if he is putting up as much of his of He's borrowing against Twitter or Tesla stock for part of the money for this purchase. And so Twitter needs to make enough money to pay back this $44 billion loan. Okay. So how do you do that if you're not concerned about the money? I mean, is Elon going to put the company in a position where the investment he's making, that bill comes due and there's no money to pay for it? Then what happens to Twitter? I mean, do we suddenly have a fire sale to sell off all of Twitter and try and make enough money to pay back the debts? I mean, what happens?
I believe him when he tells me. Well, I think what he actually said was he wasn't concerned about the economics versus the money. I'm not sure that difference matters, but just to be, like, I guess more specific and accurate. But I believe him when I think that what his message was supposed to be is that he's not buying Twitter for the money. He's not buying it to try to make a profit. I believe him when he tells me that he thinks that free speech is too important to allow it to be messed up.
I can appreciate that. Okay, but now here's the problem I have with that statement. Is he saying that we really need to have free speech, or is he saying that he wants to be able to say what he wants without repercussion?
Well, in general, from my and this is definitely this is my leftward bias here. I believe that a lot of the evidence suggests, and the studies that have been conducted have so far shown, that conservative content tends to be unfairly promoted, whereas the conservative belief is that they are unfairly censored as in the conservative viewpoint. And in general, I feel like the anti-moderation backlash is that I should be able to say whatever I want and be free of consequences for that.
Right. Yes. I think that is a common perception on what free speech means
to some folks, that I should be able to say whatever to I want folks, without any consequences or judgment or whatever.
And that's not what free speech is.
And that is not what free speech is. We're in the same position there. But I have a follow-up question to my unanswered question about whether or not we would want the digital town square being controlled by a person. And this definitely touches on what you were saying earlier. The flip side is, do we want the digital town square controlled by Wall Street, by investors, by shareholders, by profit?
Yeah. For me, the answer is no. And I don't want my town square controlled by a single person who has so much money that even Han Solo can't imagine all of it. I mean, that's not what I want. Now, here's the problem. We have a system, a social media system in place that gives us exactly what we want. It is not controlled by Wall Street. It is not controlled by a single person. And I think, even though
we do,
it's cool that exists. Yeah.
Where?
It's called Mastodon.
Oh.
And the fact that you're like, we do?
Yeah, I completely forgot about its existence.
Yeah, exactly. And Mastodon is not something that the average user is going to get into, because, it's not like you go sign up for Mastodon and now you just see all the stuff you want to see. Like you do with Twitter or Facebook, you have to find the right server and then you have to sign up for the server. And if you have multiple interest categories that are on different servers, now you're signing up for multiple servers.
Can I put this a different way?
Sure.
Wall Street control brings us convenience. I'm talking about Twitter.
Yep, yep.
The control of Twitter by one human being, i.e. Elon Musk, could also bring benefits. It could. It could actually be the most amazing. Matter of fact, I'll even hazard that Elon Musk controlling Twitter will be neither as awesome as the far right thinks it will be. And the far right is like super stoked about this, by the way. Should tell you something. But it's neither going to be as awesome as they think it'll be or as horrid as the far left thinks it's going to be.
You know what? I believe you're right. I think that in the end, what we will see from a Elon Musk owned Twitter is basically what we have right now. It'll be the status quo. And I think part of that comes from, I mean, there will be changes and there will be some improvements and maybe some things that aren't as good, but overall, I think that it will be a lot like what we have today. I think part of the problem for Elon is that he's coming into this thinking that that he has at least part of the solution for moderation. And the reality is, no, he has no idea. I mean, companies like Twitter and Facebook and Reddit, they've been dealing with this for a long time. And things that on the surface seem obvious to us on the outside, turns out they have serious ramifications on the back end. And the people that are dealing with this and sorting out how to manage moderating content on these platforms, I mean, they're aware of this and they're doing the best they can. And as crazy as it sounds, I really believe that the people at Twitter and Facebook that are working to manage the moderation systems to make them as reasonable and fair as possible, that's really their goal. And what they're up against is this almost insurmountable wall of insanity that people are.
That people are. I'm going to back you up on essentially everything you said, but I do think that Elon would immediately bring down a lot of the safeguards that have allowed the trolls to harass people. I believe that he sees that as a violation of free speech. And he may be right that it is a violation of free speech, but it is, I'm not sure that free speech rules apply per se to a platform that gets to make its decisions about what it wants on its site. And I personally would not want to be running a site where people get to harass people. It's not what I want on my site.
Right. Yes. Same. I don't want that. And while Elon may feel that, that what Twitter is doing right now is a violation of free speech, I completely disagree. Twitter cannot violate your right to free speech. Twitter is a company. It is not a government. And as a company, Twitter has the right to decide what speech is and is not allowed on their platform.
That's their free speech.
And
That's Twitter's free speech.
Well, they can do that. And I think they have an obligation to do that. There are so many opportunities to create just really bad, dangerous situations where people are harmed, killed, or put in a position where they feel like their only out is to kill themselves, through things that can be said on these platforms. These platforms really have an obligation to manage that content and do what they can to keep their platforms becoming burning cesspools.
Yep. Yep. And that's without and that's without even getting back into the authoritarian.
Yeah. Do you remember Gamergate?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. If Elon rolls back what Twitter has been doing over the past few years to moderate everything that was done in the wake of Gamergate to improve the Twitter platform will be lost.
Yes. Yes, and that's why I was when you were saying that you thought it would largely continue on as is, cuz I know that's not what you meant, but that's my reaction to that. Is I think he's going to roll back a lot of that stuff in the name of free speech. And if he does, I imagine that more people will check out. We've already had a lot of people check out, whatever, you know, they deactivated their account, they could reactivate it. Let me ask you this. Are you going to leave Twitter over Elon Musk buying it? Because it's not a done deal yet. We should make that known. Oh, I also own like 2 shares of Tesla that I'm iffy on. But for the full disclosure sake.
Well, okay. First off, I'm not completely convinced that the sale is going to be completed.
Same.
So if the sale is completed, I'm not planning on leaving Twitter. I mean, that could change. Like it could go south in such a horrible way.
Twitter could become a place that you want to leave, but you're not planning on leaving it as a sign of protest or anything else.
Right. If I leave, it's because I've decided that either ethically it's not something that I'm comfortable with, or it has become something that I feel is unhealthy for me to participate in.
And that's essentially the same for me. I am not planning on leaving it for now. Twitter is a place that I want to be. I'm not going to make a political statement and quit preemptively. And I don't think that many people will do that. I think that the proof will be in the pudding with what Elon Musk does. I do believe that it's possible that Elon Musk's stewardship of Twitter could be an amazingly good thing. It could also be an amazingly bad thing, or it could be a mix.
I'm going for a mix.
Yep. All right. Hey, I think perfectly timed. I've got people at my door. As you can hear the dog saying.
Excellent.
Right. So let me do this. That's this week's Context Machine podcast. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, you can write us over at contextmachine.io. You can find me on Twitter at GeekTells.
And you can find me on Twitter at JGamut. Also, thank you to Hunter Douglas for being our sponsor. Visit hunterdouglas.com/ACM today for your free style gets smarter design guide with fresh takes, creative ideas, and smart solutions for dressing your windows. That's hunterdouglas.com/ACM for your free style guide.
And indeed, our bandwidth is provided by CashFly, the basis by Boom, recorded just for this show. That's all for this week. And if you're sticking with us, we'll see you next week. I guess that kind of remains to be seen, huh, Jeff?
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.